In the book that our small groups are studying, this week and next week, we're talking about hospitality. And so I've been thinking about hospitality a lot and thinking about how limited our understanding often of hospitality is. Hospitality is an essential character trait of the church, and I believe that, and I agree with what the book has to say on that. I think it's all through the Bible, through from Genesis right through to Revelation. This idea of hospitality is right there, but it asks, but then we have to go, well, what do we mean by that? And so here's some definitions that I came across on hospitality. One definition: extending a welcome to guests or offering a home away from home. Another one: the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers. And then my favorite: making your guests feel like they're at home, even if you wish they were. Now, all of those are connected to what we call the hospitality industry, right? People who work in hotels and restaurants and various other places where they depend on guests coming, on strangers coming and taking of whatever they have to offer. And so that's often what we think about as hospitality, right? But if that was what hospitality was, and I think that's good. I think that that is part of the definition of hospitality. I think that's part of what we, the church, who are called to be hospitable, are supposed to be. We're supposed to be welcoming. We're supposed to be warm. We're supposed to welcome the stranger. The alien is the scripture, the scriptural word. All through Israel's history, they were instructed over and over again, listen, you need to welcome the foreigners, the aliens among you, as if they're one of you. And over and over and over again, Israel failed to do that. But see, the thing is, I think that this definition, these definitions don't go far enough. Because when I read these definitions, extending a welcome to guests or offering a home away from home, the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers, where it stops is those others stay guests or strangers. So think about if you go to a restaurant, right, and you have a really great server who really gets hospitality, and they serve you, and they maybe chat with you a little bit, and they help you have a really great, enjoyable experience wherever you are, and then you go home, and you don't know each other. You're still a stranger, right? You're still the guest who was there. Similar if you go to a hotel or if you go somewhere like that. And that is part of what it is, right? Like, I hope that anybody who ever walks through the doors of this church feels that they have been welcomed, feels that we have been hospitable, feels that they were wanted here. But that's not actually enough. And scripture doesn't leave it there. In what we read in Leviticus there, it said, when an alien resides with you, you shall not oppress them. Well, that seems the bare minimum. You know, when somebody comes to join you, don't oppress them. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as one who is native born among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. So see how it's not just you've got to welcome them in, but you actually have to treat them as if they are one of you, as if they belong, because they do belong. And the justification for that in scripture is that Israel itself, they knew what it was to be the strangers. They knew what it was to be strangers who were oppressed. Israel's whole story sits on this foundation of God rescuing them from Egypt. They were enslaved by Egypt for somewhere around 400 years or so, and God rescued them from that. And then they left, they crossed the sea, lots of miracles along the way, and eventually they moved into land that God had promised them, and they took up residence there. And God, in all of his laws, and he says it over and over throughout the Bible, he says, remember what it was like to be strangers in a foreign land? Remember what it was like when you were slaves in Egypt? Remember that, because I don't want you to make anybody else feel like you were. I don't want anybody else to experience the kind of oppression you did just because you weren't Egyptian, just because you weren't one of the people who belonged. I want you to treat everybody who comes to be part of Israel as part of Israel, as people who belong. That's more than just welcoming. That takes it beyond strangers and guests feeling like people were nice to them or people were friendly to them. A lot of churches take pride in the fact that we're pretty friendly, we're pretty nice, and as you, if you're the stranger going in, you might have a different opinion sometimes, or you might walk away going, they were so friendly, that was lovely. But I don't think that that gets on what the biblical mandate of true hospitality is. Because I think that true hospitality is more than just welcoming people. God chose the people of Israel, right? And we hear that all the time. Israel is God's chosen people. Well, why? That doesn't seem fair. Why would God choose this people and nobody else? That seems very exclusionary. That doesn't seem like the God of the New Testament that we talk about. Maybe it's a different God in the Old Testament. We have all these questions that come up at this idea that Israel is God's chosen people. But the thing is, God didn't choose Israel so that they would be just special and everybody would be left out in the cold. God chose Israel because he said, I am going to build for myself a people. I'm going to make for myself a nation, a people who will live as if the kingdom of God, as if my kingdom, God is saying, has come to earth already. They are going to live. They are going to relate with each other, with the nations around them, with the people who come across their borders. They're going to relate to them as if they were already my kingdom. And so all of the laws that God sets forth are all about that. The welcoming of the stranger, the treating them as one who is native born, as a citizen, as part of the family of God. All of that is part of what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. Now, you only have to read a few pages of the Old Testament to realize that Israel didn't like that call so much as they liked being exclusionary, which we do too, right? We want to be special. But in Genesis 12, when God is calling Abram to be the beginning of Israel, he says this. Now, the Lord said to Abram, we know him as Abraham, but originally he was Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. That's great. Could you imagine if God said that to you? You'd be like, yes, excellent. So that you will be a blessing. Not, I'm going to set you apart from people. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be great. Everybody's going to know your name. Hallelujah. But so that you will be a blessing. So that you will be a light that shines in the darkness of this world that we're living in, so that you will be my light, God's light, shining into this world. All the laws that God gave the people of Israel were toward that end, that they would be a blessing. They were supposed to show the world a different way of being, individually, as just individuals, but also as a whole nation, the way the whole nation operated. One of the most important mandates was that no one among them would be oppressed or marginalized, that no one among them would be experiencing poverty or would be suffering unduly because of oppression. But not just that. To not oppress the marginalized wasn't actually enough. God didn't say, you know what, just don't do bad to people. But he also said, again in Leviticus, the alien who resides with you shall be to you as the native born among you. Not don't oppress the alien. That's not what he was saying. I mean, that's good. That's a place to start. Don't oppress the alien. But he's also saying, they shall be to you as one who is native born. You shall love them as you love yourself. See, this, I think, is true hospitality. This is what the call of God is on the church, is this kind of true hospitality. It's more than just being welcoming. It's about what being welcoming leads to, that being welcoming leads to belonging. And that is the essence. That is what hospitality is really all about. That was what God was painting a picture of for Israel, saying, you know what, maybe they don't belong when they come in. Maybe they can't trace their lineage back to one of the first 12 tribes of Israel, but treat them as if they can. Embrace them so that they experience what it is to belong. And then those who have come in and say, I belong, this is now my people, they will also live under the law of God and under the rule of God. Henry Nouwen wrote that hospitality is a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend. See, it's not just a space of welcoming for the stranger to come in, but where something changes, something is transformed in that. There's a story in the Gospels about a man named Zacchaeus. If you grew up going to Sunday school, you maybe grew up singing the song about Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man. We don't know if he was a wee little man. He had to climb up a tree to be able to see Jesus. Maybe it was just a big crowd. However, that's not the point. The point is that he was an awful man. He was a tax collector, and not just any tax collector. He was ripping people off left, right, and center. He would say to you, okay, Rome says you owe them this much money, so I'm going to tell you, you have to pay this much money in taxes, and then I get to keep the difference, which was actually a legal thing to do, not ethical, but it was a legal thing to do at the time. That's kind of how tax collectors got rich and how they made all their money, was by overcharging people their taxes. He was not a good man. He was not a good follower of God. He was not following the law of God in any way, shape, or form. And Jesus comes up to him. He sees him in the tree and says, come on down, because I'm going to your house for dinner today. Zacchaeus is like, what? I wonder, like, oh, shoot, did we clean? Do I have any food in the fridge? What's going on here? And the other people who were watching, right, they were like, what? Look at all the people Jesus had to choose between. All these people who were good people, who were living to the best of their ability as followers of God, who were living properly good lives, who weren't ripping people off or oppressing people or making millions off the backs of the poor and the marginalized. Why doesn't he go to their place for dinner? He's Jesus after all. But no, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your place for dinner. That's where I'm going to go. And when he's there, Zacchaeus, something happens there. We don't know the full extent of that visit, but something in that encounter was so powerful that Zacchaeus was completely transformed. Zacchaeus went from being this bad human being, this unethical human being who was ripping people off, to somebody who said, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. And not just that, I'm going to pay back everybody that I've ripped off, and I'm going to pay them back more as if like they loaned it to me and I'm paying them interest as well than what I took from them. I'm never going to be that again. Zacchaeus, his entire being was transformed from being with Jesus. Now this is kind of a backwards. Jesus is going to his place, so you'd think Zacchaeus was the one offering hospitality. But this is what happens when Jesus enters the space, is he becomes the host. Whatever's happening, he becomes the host. He becomes the welcoming, but not just so that then they can go on their merry way. They've had a lovely dinner together. But so that real change happens, because suddenly we go from being the outsider, Zacchaeus was the outsider, to becoming one who belongs. Jesus said to Zacchaeus when he was leaving, salvation has come to your house this day. Zacchaeus was no longer outside. Zacchaeus had become part of the family of God. He had been restored to where he was supposed to be to begin with. That's what hospitality does, real biblical hospitality. I think that this kind of hospitality, this kind of belonging, when I think about it for myself, I think, you know, it comes down to being known. Am I known? A stranger's not known. A guest isn't necessarily really known. But think about how your family knows you. Sometimes great, sometimes they know all the secrets, right? Have you ever experienced what it is to be truly, fully known by somebody and loved by them, regardless of them fully knowing you? See, I think that's what Jesus walks into Zacchaeus' house. He doesn't wait till Zacchaeus gets everything sorted out, and then he says, okay, now I can come and visit you. Jesus goes into the mess of it all, and that's where the change and the transformation happens. And Zacchaeus allows himself to be known by Jesus. Zacchaeus says, okay, come on over. This is me. You know me. Jesus met a woman in Samaria, a woman who was also not a very good person, and at least by the standards of the day. And when she had this life-transforming encounter with Jesus, she went running into town where she was ostracized. She went running into town and she started yelling to anybody who would hear, come meet a man who told me things about myself that nobody else knew. She was fully known by Jesus, and instead of running, screaming away, putting up borders so that Jesus can't get too close, she wants more of Jesus. Because there's something about how Jesus welcomes knowing fully who we are and also loves us in that. I wonder if you have ever known what it was to be fully known like that and loved, even as you're fully known. In Ephesians 2, the author writes this: "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world. You were strangers to God, you were strangers to God's family. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And then a little bit further down: "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God." This is what real hospitality is. It's set out there. Some people write about how God is a God of hospitality. And this is kind of what he's talking about. Not God says, "Okay, it's nice to have you here. Nice to meet you. Welcome. We'll try and be friendly to you." But God, who knows you, who makes space for us to be fully known. And we can step into that and we can trust, because God loves us, even knowing us fully, even knowing not just the good parts that we try and put forward for everybody else, but the ugly parts, the secret parts of ourselves, even knowing all of that. God says, "Oh, I want you to be part of my family. Please, won't you be part of my family?" Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being an orphan, being a child, being an orphan? And I mean, most of us probably can't imagine that. Can you imagine seeing people come wanting to adopt children? You're going to put on your best, you're going to brush your hair, you're going to put on your best dress or your best pants, and you're going to put yourself out there. You're going to be polite and you're going to be kind because you want somebody to adopt you. And you maybe keep that up. This happens in foster care all the time. Kids keep that up for as long as they can. But eventually, the hurt comes out. Eventually, the pain comes out. Eventually, the less pleasant sides come out, because we all have them. And kids who have suffered, kids who've gone through trauma or who've ended up in the foster care system, often have more than most of those kind of things. And so then the question is, will those parents still want them as part of the family? If that kid is wreaking havoc in your household, do you still want them as part of your family? Thing is, we are those kids. We are those kids who are wreaking havoc in the home of God, who are causing no end of pain and suffering. Even when we try our best not to, we still contribute to it. That's what sin did when sin entered the world, when sin entered us. That's what it does. It wreaks havoc. And still, God says, "That's okay. I still," well, it's not okay, but I still want to be your dad. I still want you as part of my family. I love you, even knowing all of that ugliness, even knowing all the suffering, all the broken parts, all the parts that you want to hide from everybody else. God says, "I want all of you. I know all of you, and I want all of you as my family." And when we step into that family, that's when the change starts to happen. That's when we experience things like Zacchaeus experienced or the Samaritan woman experienced, that we start to be transformed, not because all of a sudden we just became good, but love, that love of God, also known as the Holy Spirit of God, that love of God transforms us. We can only be transformed if first we are welcomed in, if first we believe that we belong. What a great message of hope for us, and what a challenge for us who are the church as well. See, the church is what God chose to use to show the world who he is and what life as part of his family looks like. Sometimes I wonder why on earth he would choose that direction, but he's God. He knows what he's doing. So if we are going to represent God, we need to figure out how to be that kind of welcoming. Not just friendly to people, not just inviting people in who are strangers and guests, but opening up our arms and saying, we really do want to know you, and we want to allow you to know us, all of us. And we promise that we will hold on to you no matter what, that we will love you, not when you get it all together, when you're right, but we will love you in the midst of all the messiness of who you are right now. We want you to know what it is to belong here. And we want to experience what it is to belong, to be the people who turn from being the strangers and the aliens who've been welcomed in to the people who are the ones who are the belonging ones, who are then reaching out and extending that hospitality to everybody else. That's the challenge that we experience. It's a challenge. It's everything that this table represents. Once a month, we have this table set before us, and this table is full of symbols, and it's full of symbols of the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples. Some point, read the Gospels and just count how many times Jesus ate with people. Food is one of the best ways to be known and to know people. The conversations, there's something about food that drops some of our barriers. And so Jesus was sitting around the table, a table to which everybody was invited. This table symbolizes the whole kingdom, the whole family of God, to which everybody is invited. Not once they've got it together, not once they're perfect, not once they've let go of all their secrets and they're known. But before all of that, invited to this table, invited us to this table that demonstrates the extent of the love that Jesus has for us, the extent that God was willing to go to so that we could be part of his family. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. Can you imagine the violence done to Jesus and God still saying, be my family, come join me? Not, okay, you crossed the line, get out. No, be my family. Jesus took bread off the table and he broke it apart. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this bread is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup as well. It would have been filled with wine. We're going to use juice, but it would have filled with wine. And he said, in this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. He was saying, you know, this covenant that we have here is essentially God saying, I'm going to keep my arms open. I am going to keep the welcome there. No matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, what you want to do, what's going on inside of you, come to this table and be known. Come to this table where you belong. Not because you've done anything special. You belong just as you are, loved deeply by the God who wants to call you his child.